Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for that sound check. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, and I'm coming to you from Oceanside, California. We're finally getting our winter. It's been gray, raining, drizzling, yucky, kind of like 65 degrees sort of. Yeah, humid and a bummer. Somehow we lost Rod, but I want to welcome Rod and Bill and Yo. I know that's guest. He's trying to sign in. BTR just keeps doing that to people. It's really frustrating. Like I said, Patriot families, everybody at Bill's house, everybody listening in over there. I know Joe's there. I'm sure Chad's there. Hi, guys. Also, anyone that's listening via their downloaded players, special players that they have, and listen now from Blog Talk Radio, welcome to the show. And we are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamiliesOfTheYS.com. So glad everybody's here. Hopefully more show up. I'm going to start with scripture, and it was the woman at the well of Samaria from Sunday's teaching from our pastor. And I, about half an hour ago, I got home and got prepared for this show because I was at a city council meeting, and I will share that with you. You're going to enjoy that. I have so much to go through, I should have scheduled 2 hours today. This is, like, incredible what's happening. So here's where we are. We will go, and it was quite interesting. Pastor was explaining about the Samaritans and the Jews. So what I'll do is I will go. The Gospel according to John, and this is John 4, verses 5 through 26, and then 4, verses 39 to 42. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I have ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And that ends that particular lesson for today. It's funny because apparently back then, that's why they made that mention that that for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, and apparently that was true. And it was also odd that his disciples went out to buy food from the Samaritans. So, and prophets and disciples were not talking to Samaritan women or women at all, pretty much, especially by themselves. So just interesting piece of history there. And hi, Lonnie, welcome. And I'm hoping that Rod can hear or get in through some other method. So thank you for listening to the lesson of the book of John. And that was the Samaritan woman at the well. This particular meeting, I found out about it a few days ago, and I thought, okay, because they're going to raise our water rates. And this was what was put together by the city staff, and this is City of Oceanside staff, and these people have come up with this cockamamie nonsense. There's like 39 pages they went through on this slide presentation. So I got there early, okay, at this city council today, and this was 2:00 this afternoon, my time. So that would be 5:00 you guys' time. That was 2 hours prior to this show. And so they hand me this woman, apparently, who's for it or was going to be speaking, hands me this pamphlet that they're going to go through, and she's all excited. And it's titled Water and Sewer Infrastructure Workshop, because that's what they're doing. And that's the city council was listening. People came. We had a lot of people there. We had people from Action. We had people from, you know, all the different groups. So it was coincidental and quite providential that I got a bunch of information from Mike Hunsacker, who is very instrumental in going to his city council meetings and water meetings and everything else going on in San Marcos. And he sent me some really interesting facts, with that, which I shared with the audience today when I was speaking. I actually got to speak because I think it was 35 minutes into this whole deal. They were calling speakers, and so I got to be first because Zach knew I had to leave at 3, my time, so I could come back here and put it together. So here's the first page. Let me read this to you, which just set my teeth on edge. It says, EPA, another entity I hate, EPA's model for sustainable communities. As you can tell, I went nuts. And then they have this green pyramid, green on white background. The top of the pyramid said sustainable communities, middle says sustainable systems, and sustainable infrastructure. So right there I knew. Well, we're going to get hosed. So this particular company that they're deciding whether they're going to go for this wants to spend on the water infrastructure. They want $763 million for that. For the sewer infrastructure, $704 million. Where this money's coming from? Well, I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from the ratepayers, the property owners, the people who pay for their water, whether through a rental or their own private property or whatever, and people like us who live in mobile home parks, etc., are going to pay through the nose. We're going to get hosed, okay? So what I did, I'm not going to go through the entire garbage that they put forth, but I'll tell you what I did when I went in. So I got called first because Zach knew I had to get done early, but I did get to hear the other people speak, including my friend Miss Walshaw from across the street. So there were several people from Action and other entities there. So I got up and I said, good afternoon, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. My name is Linda Sills, and I live at 42 Chico Lane, Oceanside. And I picked up the pamphlet I just read to you, and I said, well, my first clue was about the sustainable communities, sustainable this, sustainable that, and I go, funny how that mirrors the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21. And then I noticed in their pamphlet, they're looking, their vision is 2030. So I said, oh, it's funny how this is 2030 and the Planning Commission and the Agenda 21 is 2030 and 2050. And I looked over at the staff who gave their presentation and I said, gee, even Joseph Stalin only had a five-year plan. And then I went on and said, Southern California imports 80% of its water. Can you imagine living in a state that has to import, the entire state imports 80% of its water? San Diego County imports 85%. The north half of our state has an average rainfall of 53 inches compared to the 14 inches of Southern California. Thus, the state water project ships surplus water from the Delta to the thirsty south. And then I said, 80% of the metropolitan water district's costs are fixed. If it loses water to resell, the water rates go up to cover these costs, as happened last time we had a drought conditions, where those that conserved water still had higher water bills. Oh, we're going to get huge. Oh, worse than that. Bill, I don't know what the, yeah, oh, they're taking water out of the Great Lakes and giving it to China. And guess what they're doing in California? They've been doing it since they passed this law, and I think it was 2008 or 2009 when Schmuckface got planted into the usurped oval orifice. And this was under Feinstein and Boxer in the state of California. And this was under good old Arnold steroid strudel, or as we call him, Schwarzenhauskeeper. And they, with the Delta Smelt deal, they're pumping, they cut off the water to the Central Valley. So all that breadbasket's gone. It's turned into a desert, these schmucks. And they're pumping because of the Delta Smelt, which is a lie and a hoax, just like global warming. And I want to thank Bill right now for that video I got on, I think it was John Casey. It's fantastic. I reposted it, and I will be talking about that from here on out. However, yeah, they're pumping fresh water because of the Delta Smelt, another part of the hoax, into the Pacific Ocean. They've been doing it for 5 years, bastards. Anyway, so then I was talking about the, I told them Sacramento is waiting for the water crisis to worsen here in California so that it can push through an initiative that favors its control and that transfer of costs from favored special interests onto citizen property owners. Farmers use considerable water to the important agricultural segment of the state economy. They and the Delta Smelt are proving totally at odds. Sacramento is planning to fund projects protecting the Delta wildlife from the natural water cycle drought we are entering, where saltwater incursion into the bay wetlands will endanger protected species. But if the drought deepens as expected, there would not be enough water unless they take it away from Southern California. So this is what's going on, and that's what, you know, and I will get into more stuff on the EPA in a minute. Before I get to the headlines and the other stuff, I would definitely like to talk about a couple items here, and I'm hoping that people can get in. BTR is becoming a real pain. On Common Core, there's so much going on. April 24th in our area, I'm going to be carpooling to a special two-hour meeting. It's on a Thursday night, and it won't interfere with Terry's show because it's 7 o'clock my time. So it'll be long after she's finished. And this is all about Common Core, and they're going to teach us about what's going on more specifically and what we can do to stop it. So everybody in Vista Tea Party, Tri-City Tea Party, Americans Protecting Property Rights, the Anti-Agenda 21 crowd are in on it, and we will all be at this meeting. So, I just wanted to say that I did see that, guys, and they're talking about Uncle Jack, so prayers going out for that person, definitely for everybody involved. And hopefully, I keep seeing people log in and out. I don't know if it's BTR or whether it's just people, they can't get in. Anyway, this headline says, Michelle Malkin flattens Jeb Bush's assertion that, listen to this, Common Core is truth serum. This Jeb Bush has got to go. There's another, it looks like the Republican Party or the GOP establishment is pushing Jeb for 2016 as well. So I want to definitely go into that in a minute. So here's this situation on Oh, good. He's listening on the site. I'm glad you can hear, Rod. So we've got a few people, and others are trying to get in. Speaking before 900 people at the annual Broward County Workshop Breakfast Friday, former Governor Jeb Bush decried the controversy surrounding Common Core. Oh, really, Jeb? So he says, let me tell you something. In Asia today, they don't care about children's esteem. They care about math, whether they can read in English, whether they understand why science is important, whether they have the grit and determination to be successful. So that was the reported by the Sun Sentinel. Jeb Bush added that the standards are benchmarked to the rest of the world. Oh, really? Quote, a truth serum for our communities to wake up and realize that we've languished far too long, also berating the critics who go nuts about it. Oh, really, Jeb? Well, I will be telling my audience after I'm finished in April, learning more about it, which I have seen plenty. It makes me want to throw up. What he did not mention, of course, was the integral role his brother Neil has in the financial success of the project, or the prominent role K Street lobbyists, Bill Gates, George Soros, high-placed Democratic strategists, and other left-wing plutocrats have played in promoting this one-size-fits-all brainwashing agenda, according to Dr. Allison Rampersad, co-chair of Eyes on U.S. Education. Columnist Michelle Malkin immediately took issue with Bush's remarks. Let me quote Ms. Malkin. Jeb Bush's Foundation for Excellence in Education is also saturating the airwaves with ads trying to salvage Common Core in the face of truly bipartisan, truly grassroots opposition in his home state of Florida. And we talked about this on somebody's show, or I can't even remember if it was mine last week. I was livid, and I talked about this, and I put it on Facebook, and I wrote to, because I haven't seen any since I wrote my thing, and also my friend Lynn Welke did as well, to Fox News. And I also sent it to, what was that, learnmoregofurther.org or whatever, and gave them what for. And I also posted it on Facebook, and I told Fox News, I said, yeah, I know about Agenda 21. I actually mentioned Agenda 21 in my meeting today after I talked about Stalin. Miserable. These people just, you know, I want these people to know in my city that I know who and what they are. That's why I get up and speak, because I want to wake people up. So talking about the airwaves, and this was radio, AM talk, conservative radio, and Fox News putting these ads trying to salvage Common Core. They were doing it. It was ticking me off. Malkin wrote in a recent op-ed, anyway, she says, get to know the Common Core marketing overlords, which we went a little bit of it, George and Bill and all the rest of them. So Jeb Bush's foundation is tied at the hip to the federally funded testing consortium called PARC, P-A-R-C-C, which pulled in $186 million through the Obama administration's Race to the Top program to develop Common Core tests. Oh, what do you hear about that? So Michelle listed the business groups and trade associations, partisan foundations, Democrat-influenced peddlers, Clinton-era educrats, and publishing corporations who also stand to profit from implementing Common Core. Follow the money. Welcome, Ron and everybody. Just follow the money, Malkin wrote. This bipartisan power grab in Washington is Washington-led and Washington-fed. Bush concluded his speech to the audience asking, this is Jeb Bush, you tell me which society is going to be the winner in the 21st century. The one that worries about how they feel, talking about the children, or the one that worries about making sure that the next generation has the capacity to eat everybody's lunch. End quote. Jeb, I got news for you. Have you seen the math in this mess? Have you seen the bluest eye by these crazy people? Have you seen the rewriting of history and the Second Amendment and the Constitution in these studies? Have you seen all of this progressive Fabian socialist nonsense? I have. I suggest you do your homework and just close up your wallet, go to some island and play with all of your money, and leave us liberty-loving people and our children the hell alone. That's my message to Jeb Bush. I have another one. This is we're going to do Pushing Jeb in a second. I want to read this letter. This other piece. I got so much stuff to talk about today. I don't know how I'm going to get through it all, but we will. There was a lady, and it was a lady named Yolanda Vestal, she calls herself an average American. I guess she was pretty ticked off. Thank you, Bill, for the amen. About everything that's going on with the bills, the Obamacare and the taxation, et cetera, the stealing. And I found the first chapter of Don't Hurt People and Don't Steal from Them. I think I sent it to Ron. I hope he got that one because it was pretty cool. I think it was only 26 pages, the first chapter of this book by Matt Kibbe. It was pretty cool. I just thought I would try to send it to the rest of you guys. Anyway, this is the letter to the usurper Indonesian dog eater Barry in chief. So it says, Dear President Obama, I wanted to take a moment to say thank you for all you have done and are doing. You see, I'm a single mom located in the very small town of Palmer, Texas. I live in a small rental house with my two children. I drive an older car that I pray daily runs just a little longer. I work at a mediocre job bringing home a much lower paycheck than you or your wife could even imagine living on. I have a lot of concerns about the new Obamacare along with the taxes being forced on us Americans and debts you are adding to our country. I have a few questions for you, Mr. President. Have you ever struggled to pay your bills? I have. Have you ever sat and watched your children eat and you eat what's left on their plates when they're done because there wasn't enough for you to eat as well? I have. Have you ever had to rob Peter to pay Paul and it is still not enough? I have. Have you ever been so sick that you needed to see a doctor and get medicine but had no health insurance because it was too expensive? I have. Have you ever had to tell your children no when they asked for something they needed? I have. Have you ever patched holes in pants, glued shoes, replaced zippers because it was cheaper than buying new? I have. Have you ever had to put an item or two back at the grocery store because you didn't have enough money? I have. Have you ever cried yourself to sleep because you had no clue how you were going to make ends meet? I have. My questions could go on and on. I don't believe you have a clue what Americans are actually going through, and honestly, I don't believe you care. Not everyone lives extravagantly. While your family takes expensive trips that cost more than most of us make in 2 to 4 years, there are so many of us that suffer. Yet you are doing all you can to add to the suffering. I think you are a very selfish and cold-hearted man who does not care what is best for the people he was elected by, not by me, to represent, but more so out for the glory of your name attached to history. So thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for pushing those of us that are barely staying afloat, completely underwater, and driving America into the ground. You have made your mark in history as the absolute worst and most hated president of the United States. God have mercy on your soul. Sincerely, Yolanda Vestal, Average American. I like that one. I don't know about you. Welcome, Cal. Welcome, everybody. you can type in how you feel about that one. I want to go to... There's so much stuff going on. This is Pushing Jib real quickly, and then I'm going to go into not the whole thing because there's so much of it. But apparently the U.S. Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments in Utility Air Regulatory Group versus the EPA. And this is the case will determine how far the EPA can extend its regulatory overreach to control climate change and carbon dioxide from power plants and other facilities, ignoring the Constitution separation of powers. Anyway, so this is the actual headline was, Will Supreme Court allow the EPA's climate fraud? And I just, you know, it's really, really bizarre how this stuff goes on. And I wanted to put out to Ron for later. I know that there's something in the Constitution. I was perusing it earlier, and I was running out of time, and I just couldn't find the location of it about not nationalizing education. Anyway, I know, because I think that that's important for us to all know. So here we have the good old establishment Republican Party pushing Jeb Bush. Rod says hi. Oh, he had to leave. Sorry. And our Republican Party never seems to learn. More specifically, it seems as though Republican voters never seem to learn as well. How many times can we get fleeced because the media tells us that a certain candidate is the right one? It has happened time and time again. This tradition goes back quite a ways, but the most egregious example of the left hijacking our party is from 2008. Who would have guessed in 2006, by 2008, John McCain would have been our Republican nominee for president? Not me. I certainly would not have guessed that John McCain would be our nominee. Why would we ever choose a candidate that is so unconservative? But we did, and he lost. Why did we choose him? Was it because we actually believed him to be the right man for the job? Was it because we liked his conservative credentials? No. We voted for him because the mainstream media, liberal media, told us to. The hijacking of Republican primaries is a common practice for the Democrats. The left decides that a particular candidate would be a weak opponent, and then they proceed to flood the airwaves with chatter as to why they believe that that candidate will win the primaries. This chatter often contains the words front runner and favored. Oh, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah. I've heard this about Hildebeest. I've heard this about Jeb Bush. I've heard this about Huckabee and all the rest. The media, this I'm talking 2016. The media constructs a narrative in which these weak candidates are the ones to beat the Republican primaries. Beat in the Republican primaries after being inundated with story after story about how these weak candidates' victories are a foregone conclusion. Republican voters either stay home or hypnotically pull the lever for the candidate the media has been hyping. It's outrageous. The left knows how to play the media hype game so well, and we continue to fall for it time and time again. Now, once again, the media is beginning to construct their new narrative. This time, it pertains to 2016. According to Tony Lee of Breitbart, former governor Florida Governor Jeb Bush has not made any formal moves to indicate he will run for the GOP presidential nomination in 2016, but he is already rated as the top contender by one university, even though he does not lead in any preliminary presidential polls. The University of Virginia Center for Politics has decided and declared that Jeb Bush is now the front runner for the Republican nomination in 2016. This is classic voter manipulation. The left-wing media is beginning to pull all the right levers, thus ensuring a Jeb Bush primary victory in 2016. We cannot let that happen, folks. Yes, the manipulation is the fault of the left, but it is our fault, and we allow it by believing the false hype created by the media and either abstaining or choosing to vote for a rhino, we are willfully terminating our party. We must stand for conservative candidates no matter what the hype machine says and no matter who they claim as the inevitable winner. Inevitably, it is a lie. It is time to buck the system and actually choose our candidates ourselves. Vote for the best man or woman and tell the establishment and the media to jump in a lake. We are not falling for the hype anymore. Just wanted to give you that. And I wanted to go through, I'm going to take calls in a couple seconds. In fact, you can light up the boards, and I just want to get through this piece because I'm putting together information that I have to take to these meetings in opposition to this global warming hoax. So one of the things I'm going to start with is a couple of short sentences done by James Madison on his ideas of property, and this was, of course, in March of 1792. And this is James Madison. This term in its particular application means that dominion, which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world, in exclusion of every other individual. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Now, the other part of this is the hype and lies about global warming. And one of my favorite books, and this is by talk show host Mark Levin, and it is Liberty and Tyranny. It's one of the first books I read in 2009. And he's talking about how to determine CO2, talking about global warming and the temperature, etc. So geologist Dudley J. Hughes puts it another way. Earth's atmosphere is made up of several major gases. For simplicity, let us picture a football stadium with about 10,000 people in the stands. Assume each person represents a small volume of one type of gas, which could be carbon dioxide, and that represents only about 4 parts in 10,000, the smallest volume of any major atmospheric gas. So if you had 10,000 people and they were all representing carbon dioxide, only 4 people would be carbon dioxide going into the gases. Plants use carbon dioxide in photosynthesis and exhale oxygen. Humans inhale oxygen to breathe and exhale carbon dioxide. So carbon dioxide is a natural part of the atmosphere, like water vapor. It is not a poison, and therefore it is not a pollutant. In fact, water vapor is by far the Earth's most significant greenhouse gas. And without greenhouse gases, life could not exist. That's going to be part of my arguments in these pieces. The other one is going to be the fact that on the volcanoes, which I know Bill sent me, that I think that one volcanic eruption would outweigh 20 to 30 years of all your saving up on carbon by not driving your car and eliminating buses. So the whole argument is garbage, and I would love to be able to download that entire YouTube thing onto a CD-ROM or whatever I could get and get it to the city council and to these other meetings, because that's something that needs to be talked about, that it is a lie, that many scientists disagree with this nonsense. They can disprove it. The other people can't prove what they're saying. The other fact is that I have actually met with people who used to be in the IPCC, and that was Dr. Singer. I got to speak with him privately after the meeting and his sermon, not sermon, but speech that he gave in front of the people in the University of Southern California, San Diego, and also stood next to and watched his whole lecture, and that would be Lord Monckton when he was here. And this is about 3 or 4 years ago for both of these gentlemen. I've seen the hype. I've seen the disproving of the theories. In fact, Dr. Singer said to me as we're walking back to the parking lot, he said, not in my lifetime and certainly not even in yours. But we are headed for a mini ice age. And it looks like scientist John Casey was quite saying the same things in his video, which is about just a little over, probably close to an hour, 10 minutes less than an hour. And I'm going to try to get that and maybe post it over and over again, maybe get it out in emails to other people. I do want people to call in because to comment on things we're talking about anything else you want to go with today, what's going on in your state, all these things. It is 646-378-0321. And while I'm waiting for my callers to call in, and it's too bad people are leaving the I just want to get a little more into the EPA situation, and then I'll take your calls. Anytime you want to light them up, I'll interrupt what I'm doing. So carbon we're talking about the EPA can extend its regulatory overreach to control climate change and carbon dioxide from power plants and other facilities. And they ignore the Constitution's separation of powers provisions, rewriting clear language in the Clean Air Act and disregarding laws that require the agency to consider both the costs and benefits of its regulations and what it is regulating. Put more bluntly, the court will decide whether EPA may deceive and defraud the American people by implementing regulations that have no basis in honest science and will be ruinous to our economy. See, this is what we're talking about. These people are so diabolical. It is the most important energy, economic, and environmental case to come before the court in decades. Suppose a used car dealership routinely rolled back the speedometer mileage, deleted customer complaints from its website, posted fabricated compliments, and lied about the defects and accidents to sell more cars. I'm going to pick up Ron here, get this going. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Hey, darling. Go ahead. I wasn't trying to interrupt. Keep
oh, no, I'm just going to finish a couple of these, and then we'll go over the stuff. So there to sell the cars, or a manufacturer misstated its sales and bottom line, failed to mention major safety violations and fines, and made false claims about new product lines to attract investors and inflate stock prices. So that's false advertising. That's not kosher. So all the things I've talked about on what's going on at my city council, what's going on with what Mark talked about with the scientific evidence, where do you stand on these things?
You know where I stand on this global warming nonsense or climate change garbageola. Oh. You know, the sheer arrogance to believe that mankind is altering the climate of the Earth. You know, I'm more like George Carlin. Maybe that's why the Earth has kept us around. It wanted plastic, you know? I mean, when we're dead and gone and died off and extinct as a human species on the face of the Earth will just absorb everything back into it. Where do these people think all this stuff comes from?
Well, this is my point. When you look at, like what Levin was saying with the scientific evidence, that, well, look, even in third grade, you know that we breathe out the CO2 and we breathe in oxygen and the plants love it and, you know. And what Lord Monckton was saying is that the one of the highest, when you look at the whole spectrum of through, let's say, from the 1500s or even the 1300s forward, if you want to go back that far, and look at sunspots and sun activity and what really causes all this stuff, the highest uptick, which would be the giant, like a giant mountain on a chart of global warming, was in the Middle Ages. And he showed that, and it was proven out and by different scientific communities. And there's like 31,000 scientists who totally think Al Gore is just, he's the only one warming the planet with his hot air. And they haven't said as much like I do, but, I mean, that's what they're saying, you know, in so many words. So all of this, look, there are people who have made this their life work. Dr. Singer was one of them, and he's in his late 80s now. Thank God he's still around. But he, you know, it's like, and the only reason I love Carlin is because he's right when he says, these politicians don't give an F about you or what you think or what happens to your wallet or whether the earth is flat or warming. I mean, no, he's
right.
Funny. He's the only one that can say that word and make me laugh. I mean, that's...
It's a club, and you're not in it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what he's talking about, the American dream, because you got to be asleep to believe in it.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're, well, like I said to, I think it was Mike's show one time, and I got a laugh out of his buddy Hollywood. I said, these people are so deep in the Kool-Aid, they need scuba gear to breathe. And it's the truth. I mean, good Lord.
It really is.
You can't even get through to these. And then at one of, I don't know if you heard my rant as to what I did in front of the city council earlier today, which was about, I think it was 2:30 my time, whatever. Anyway, and so I got out of there on time to come back and pull this up because it's only about 15 minutes down the road. But, you know, because they're pushing this water thing they're going to try to do to the tune of, I don't know how many millions. I think it's, one deal is $763 million, the other is $704 million, and you know who's going to pay for all that. So, of course, on the front page, and I told the audience, I said, they got the pyramid. This is to help sustainable communities, and it's got sustainable water, sustainable – I was creeping out and almost throwing up, and then, of course, it says, this is our vision for 2030, mirroring the general plans written by ICLEI. So I let them have it. I went up and I said, you know, good afternoon, mayor, council, and gave my name and address and all that stuff. And I held up their little pamphlet and I said, it's kind of funny because the first things I see is sustainable this and sustainable that. I says it mirrors so much the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21. And I said, also, it mirrors with the 2030 vision, the general plans we have here, which is done by ICLEI all over the country, 2030, 2050. And I looked over at the people who gave their presentation, that's the staff, and I said, gee, it's funny. I said, even Joseph Stalin only had a five-year plan. And then I went on. I was livid. And they knew it. And I, you know, they're going to do what they want, but my job right now is to wake up the public and let these people know that I know who they are and I know what they are.
Well,
so
you're right. And the other thing, what you touched on with, you know, George Carlin's comments, people have got to get it through their heads that your government does not give two flips about you.
Right.
Doesn't. The government does not care about, the only thing they care about is your ability to be a human resource.
Resource.
Whether that is an outlet.
Or a boat.
To an excuse to continue robbing from people,
mm-hmm.
you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, the Robin Hood scenario. They don't care about the human element. That's well established. My God, look at what they're doing with Big Pharma and all this other junk that's going on.
Oh, my God. And they're pushing, they're pushing Common Core on all the stations, including Fox. I gave them hell, too, believe me.
And and isn't it wonderful, I read today that the IRS has changed some regulations, and all these people that made money on bitcoins, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, some guy on his computer several years ago might have spent $100 buying bitcoins, and now he's a multimillionaire. But remember, you first have to cash in those bitcoins and convert them into dollars, which we all know what those are. It's still debt.
Yeah.
It's a joke. So what the IRS is going to do is they're going to tax people on their bitcoins with a property tax. So they're not going to recognize them as currency and do any kind of an exchange rate. What they're going to do is tax them as property, which, by the way, I will mention, appears to be opening Pandora's box and giving them a door into being able to tax gold and silver coin and bullion as property.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're so hosed. I was sitting at the meeting, and my friend Linda Walshaw from across the street, she was getting ready to speak. And before she was called up, and I just looked at her and I said, "We're so hosed." And she laughs because, you know, we're getting it in the shorts every single day. And the people, as you know, who are getting targeted the most are the people who can least afford it. And the seniors are going to get hosed on this water deal. I mean, we're getting it on every aspect, whether it's trash, sewer, it doesn't matter. And now they're talking about desalinization. It's going to cost more money, you know, and the ratepayers are going to pay for it. And I talked about all this stuff in front of the council that was given to me by my good buddy in San Marcos. They fight this stuff in their city too. So I was talking about the Metropolitan Water District, how much money, you know, everything that's imported because we live in a desert here. So they got California by the shorts. I'm telling you, it is not fun.
Well, look, they've got everybody or most everybody by the shorts. They own you. And people had better start waking up to that realization.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying.
You know, and I did read a short bit of that link that you sent me. And, geez, I really like that guy. He sounds a lot like someone I know that is on Blog Talk. Talking about, you know,
Constitution Hour, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't intrude on someone else, if it's not an injury to them, then leave me the hell alone.
Approach. Yeah, he took the Jefferson approach. And he did it all the way through. And I think there was so many things that the reason that I sent it to you, even after the first two pages, and then I finished all 26 pages, which isn't bad. You can get through it pretty quickly. I thought, God, it sounds like Ron's talking to me. I mean, like, yeah, it really did. So I thought you would, and I will get that to the others because it's saved in somewhere. There's a link, and they sent me a freebie because I was watching Glenn Beck, and you can just go to it anyway. It says don'thurtpeople.com, and you can ask for the freebie. So you guys want to get it. It's awesome. It's his new book, and it's definitely the don't pick my pocket and don't break my arm deal. It is, and he's good. I mean, I think he's got the right idea. This is why I go to the founders because, you know, and then I try to seek truth not only through scripture but actual people who've done some homework and some other, research on the side of intelligence and common sense. I mean, at least Mark Levin and Liberty and Tierney went through and took him a long time to write that book, and he has people who come to him with their scientific facts, and he researches so he could have a chapter on what he calls the enviro statists. I love that. I call them enviro wackos, like Rush Limbaugh, but this is the same thing. I mean, they want you under their thumb. They will put you under a bus. You know, it will be Stalin-style fistedness, and that's what they're doing. Nobody understands it. That's what this damn Agenda 21 is. They will take every private property, you know, every freedom you've ever thought about having away from you.
Well, and this is why I have said before, You know, the only solution to any of this junk, I don't care what it is, the only solution is for people to stand up and say, no, I'm just not going to do it. No, 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 no. I'm not going to consent. I'm not going to roll over. I'm not going to just ignore it and go on about my business and hope it goes away because it's not going away.
Right. And then I was telling the kids earlier in the show that on the 24th of April, all of my Tea Party people were going, were carpooling out to Escondido. And it's on a Thursday night between 7 and 9 my time, so I won't interfere with anybody's radio shows, except maybe Mikey for that day. But we're having a huge meeting on Common Core, and we are going to educate ourselves, and we are going to take this information and figure out how to stop this mess. And this is what people have to do. You have to stand up to these bullies and these progressives, and that's what they are. I call them the far left, because I believe that's it, and just say no. And there was a guy, I can't remember what town he was from, but he was on Glenn Beck's show yesterday. And they were talking about this certain type of math situation, and he just let them have it. And he says, he did. He came unglued. He says, I'm not doing this. And he says, you're not teaching this garbage. This is garbage. It was just, so it went viral. So and every time this happens, you have to go against these people and stop this stuff and make sure that the public knows about it, because the media is not going to tell anybody. You know, they're not going to be honest with anybody about anything. If it's not, you know, it's up to you and me. And this alternate journalism that we have created on Blog Talk for ourselves, if that makes sense, because if not us, who? What are you going to do, try to get Alex Jones on mainstream cable? I don't think so. It ain't going to happen. So it's up to us, and we go to those meetings every single time. This is why I stand up. It's not just to try to sway the people on the council dais, because I know they're going to do what they want anyway. It's to let them know I know what they are, and to let the people behind me in that rotunda listening to wake them up. That's why I do this. It has to have media attention. It has to. And, you know, let them know we're not going to go away.
I don't even think media attention. We just have to get the attention of the American people. And nobody's done that. You know, and I think you've got a large contingent of Americans out there that just blindly wander through life day by day.
It's
and they're clueless. You know, the old saying, God, ignorance is bliss. They don't know, and they don't want to know.
I know. I run through that every single time. More of the ones, and then this one chick, and she's been a libtard from the get-go. I knew her about 2 or 3 years ago. That was the one that came up to me when I was doing the bartending for some event we were doing on Prop E, and she this was prior to the 2012 election, and she looked at me. Apparently, someone had mentioned something to her that I was a conservative. And that wasn't in her wheelhouse. And she looked at me and she says, "Are you voting for Mitt Romney?" And I looked at her. I wasn't ready for it. I didn't, you know. It was close to the night being over, and I'd already had a couple little, glasses of wine. So I was relaxed, but I wasn't expecting it. And I said, "I'm not sure," because I hadn't made up my mind, you know. But I just did anyway. So I had her number at that point, and she was the one who said, "Well, then I can't recommend you to be a bartender with my friends." You know, she was a real divisive, left-wing nut job. She got up to speak today about this water thing, and she's talking about climate change, and she's talking about the rising of the sea levels, and I'm just going, "Oh my God." I mean,
you need to tell her to fill a glass with some ice and fill it up with water and let me know when the level rises as the ice melts. Displacement and hydraulics. She just doesn't get it, evidently.
God, so as I was driving home to prepare for the show after this whole debacle, I thought to myself, you know what? I don't think I can even confront this woman, because she would be so hostile to me. She wouldn't understand what I'm saying. She's sucking up the Kool-Aid. Apparently, these people, I'm not kidding, Ron, they come from this left-wing stuff. They've never done their own homework. They don't read the other side. They just parrot what they hear from Gore or Barry. This is what they do. It's unbelievable. I'm like, Do you think for 1 second that woman has read 1/10 of what you and I have done?
No,
there's no way on this planet. On this planet.
You know, I read a little Johnny joke the other day. Okay. Everybody remembers little Johnny, right?
Yeah.
But it really summarizes a good bit of where we're at. And, you know, little Johnny in this case is a Navajo Indian boy, and the teacher's going to review some American history with the class. And she says, who said, give me liberty or give me death? Little Johnny, the Navajo Indian boy, says, Patrick Henry, 1775. The teacher said, that's very good. Who said, government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth? Nobody. Little Johnny, Abraham Lincoln, 1863. Well, now the teacher's mad at the class and said, you should be ashamed. Little Johnny knows more about history than you do. And in the back of the room comes somebody in a loud whisper, says, screw the Indians. The teacher said, who said that? Little Johnny said, General Custer, 1876. At this point, a student in the back says, I'm going to puke. The teacher says, okay, who said that? Little Johnny says, George Bush to the Japanese Prime Minister, 1991. Now she's furious. And one of the students yells, oh, yeah, suck it. Little Johnny says, Bill Clinton to Monica Lewinsky, 1997.
The teacher faints, right?
The teacher is beside herself, and somebody says, you little stinker, I'm going to kill you if you say anything else. And little Johnny says, Michael Jackson to the child witness, 2004, the teacher passed out. Somebody gathers around and says, oh, we are so screwed. And little Johnny says, the American people, November 4th, 2008.
We are. That's what I told my friend today. We're hosed. 6 ways to Sunday, man. Oh, and it gets worse by the day. Absolutely.
And, I mean, did you need any more proof or evidence? Ladies and gentlemen, we were berated. You think back to 2008. We were berated daily, incessantly, about the war on terror and how we had to give up all these freedoms.
Yes.
And the NDAA and the USA Patriot Act and the NSA and the FISA and all this stuff, day in and day out. And we've got a man running for president whose name is Barack Hussein Obama.
Good God.
And the American people elect him as president. Did you need any more evidence or proof that you're hosed?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially when you realize that there was like slightly more than half of the people, you know, in the socialist realm were voting and helping get this guy, whether they were on the dead rolls or the illegal rolls or whatever, and the union rolls and the, you know, bussing the everybody in. And God knows how they did this, but who knows whether it was a fair election? And then you got the people counting the votes. I mean, the whole thing is disgusting.
You got to understand, as far as the presidential election is concerned,
Electoral College.
It's the Electoral College. And you go through and look at who the Electoral College is comprised of.
Sure.
Okay? And they're not just, you know, the Electoral College folks are not just voting straight party line ticket. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever the mood strikes, it's a business decision. Nothing,
sure.
Nothing more, nothing less. The country's in bad shape. The economy's not getting better, folks.
No.
And what we're doing is those people that are able to work and hold down a job and pay a mortgage, we're being starved to death.
Right.
We're being drained daily.
Oh, yeah. So
and
here's
people
what,
are coming at you from
every
angle with their
right.
hand in your wallet.
Oh, in your pocket. And here's proof of this. Just in my own family, just in the last, say, in the last year. Okay, so my niece, Jenny, and her family, there's a husband and two children. And he makes really good money, and she started doing training for the kids at the gym and bodybuilding for the women. Okay, so she's making good money as a personal trainer. They had to do a walk away from their house. They were in one of those upside-down mortgages. Their mortgage payment was $4,000 a month. They got out of there. They went into a house that's nice, and they were renting. They were paying $3,000 a month for rent. Now it's gotten so bad because he lost one of his contracts for the shoe thing, okay? they're going into his mother's house in Oceanside. I don't know if they'll pay her a small stipend or whatever, but it's gonna be doable for them. This is how downgrading this is going on. And she lives in Thailand. That's where she's from. She's got a pad there. It's cheaper to live, whatever. Okay. So she's over there. My sister and her husband, right now, they sold that beautiful wooden car that I showed you pictures of a couple years ago. They got a pretty penny for that. Thank God that's their a little nest egg. But now they've got a mortgage that's $2,600, and they are going to – this beautiful house, great place, but they can't do this anymore because he's not in great health. And for him to have to work like a dog just to get out there and crack that nut every month is just crazy. So they're thinking about getting a mobile home and paying $1,100 a month for space rent. This is what California is. This is nuts. I mean, you know, when it's time for me to go, this girl, I've said it in blog posts, I've said it in person. My solution for me personally, pack it up, head east about 2,100 miles to southern Indiana, because I'm not kidding. I can't afford to live here. Why would I bat my head against a stone wall? You know, it's like the doctor says, well, if it hurts, stop batting your head against a stone wall. Hello? I mean, does that make sense? I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And plus, I'm living in a blue state where there's nothing but commies. I can't take it anymore. It's nuts.
Nah, I agree.
So I'm going to take us out with this. Now, you let me know. Stay on the line so I can make sure that you can hear or not hear, because I tried to download this and I couldn't do it, but if I play it in Windows Media, maybe it'll work. I don't know. So you guys can type it in or whatever, and I only got 3 minutes left. I'm going to see if I can do it, okay? Hang on. Okay, apparently it's not working, so I don't know how to get it. Ron, is there any way for me to send you something and you could download it into BTR? It says it's in MP3. I got it off Amazon. I paid for it. You know, it wasn't that much money. It's like less than a buck, but it's clear as a bell in Windows Media Player, and I can't get it out of there into the thing. It's weird. So... I don't know why.
You're not able to copy the file?
I don't know how to... I'm trying to get it someplace, and everywhere I put it, it won't... BTR won't accept it. And it's... Oh, I don't know. It's making me nuts.
Sure. Yeah, send it to me.
I'll do it. Cal Living, send it to me. Oh, you can fix it. Oh, I'll try it with Ron, but Cal, you can't get into our site to get where I want it. So, anyway... Lonnie knows how to do it, so I gotta talk to him about it on the Facebook. I got about a minute and 46 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for being here today, listening to my rants, because it's been pretty nuts. There's so much going on. It's like I said at the top of the show, I need 2 hours because there was just – I mean, I didn't even get to the headlines. So I want to say Bill, Cal, Ron, Lonnie, Yo, FT, everyone that's listening and everyone that was here, Doc, all y'all. He can't hear anymore, but I know Rod was listening, and the Patriot families, because he couldn't get into BTR. But absolutely amazing, and just thank you guys. Maybe I'll do a little song off the board. And we will do tomorrow with Miss Terry. She always has a fabulous show. I just love listening to her and calling in for about 15 minutes saying hi to her. It's just too much fun. Let's see if I can get this one. I want to do this one, a little tribute to Frank Winkle. We haven't heard from him for a while. I'm praying for everybody. And I'm looking forward to Delaney. I'm so excited. Thanks, Ron, for calling. It was great.
You bet.
You guys, I'll
see you
guys
later. God bless.
Play this. Okay, God bless. Yeah.